Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston. Welcome to Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. And today, we'll be going through the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. It's one of the basic parables. It's in a lot of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And today we're going to look at the different kinds of receptivity to the Gospel and how that affects you and your ministry. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that your light and peace will be all over today's preaching, today's broadcast. Let your grace be upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at the passage. It's in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. Soon afterwards, he, that is Jesus, went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it, and some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has an ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a little while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." So if you're going to be a good Christian, you have to bear fruit with patience. You have to persist at this thing that's called being a Christian. It's not easy and it's not instant, but your good and honest heart will hold forth the word of God over time, and God will shape you into the image of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start up with verse 8, verse 1. Soon afterward, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. Well, what was that good news? This is a reference to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's saying the kingdom of God is at hand. That is the rulership of God over the powers and principalities of this age, all the demons. God's going to wipe them out of the way so that we are not subjected to the demons of the first and second and heavens. We are not subjected to Satan in any way. We are taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. God's kingdom is going to be our kingdom, and we're going to have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. And all who repent and have faith can enter into the kingdom of God, because it is the Father's good pleasure to give to you, the little flock, the kingdom of God. And he says that later on in Luke chapter 12. So he's telling everybody the good news. He's telling everybody the gospel, that their sins can be forgiven. They can be wiped out in baptism and faith and repentance. And people are flocking to him, and that God is accessible. God is there. The kingdom of God is at hand. God is not remote. He's not far, far off in the sky. He has come to earth in Jesus Christ, He is right there. He is healing them. He is casting out their demons. He is concerned with their daily affairs. They thought that God had forgotten them. For 400 years, the Jewish people had not had a word from God, and suddenly there were prophets amongst them. First John the Baptist, then Jesus. Miracles were taking place. There was joy in the land. God had not forgotten his people. He had not cast them off forever. He had come to earth. They thought that their sins that got them cast into Babylon were too great. But the arrival of Jesus said, no, your sins are not too great. They made a separation between you and God, but God is wiping out your sins as a cloud. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. You can believe in him. You can find faith in him because there is good news in Jesus. He's not bringing you bad news. A little bit of bad news is that you've got to repent and turn to Jesus, and people are prepared to do that. Don't be proud and don't be stubborn. Repent of your sins, believe in Jesus, and enter the kingdom of God. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the power of God that gives you eternal life, and have your sins wiped away and forgiven so that you can know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as he went around preaching, the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. These women were rich women. They were powerful. They had the ability to support Jesus, and you also should support those who bless you, who heal you, who cast out demons from you, who make your life better. And go and support them, and remember to bless them, especially if you've got some kind of social advantage, as these people did. And they were women, and they supported the ministry of Jesus, not just men and not just powerful people, but also the women whose hearts were full of gratitude. They dug into their own personal fortunes to support this traveling ministry of Jesus Christ. And if you've got someone who's traveling, who you know is a blessing, reach into your pocket and bless them in some way. And if you want to support my ministry, I don't often say this, but if you want to support my ministry, just go online to my website, which is Cyber Missions, and go to cybermissions.org/give. cybermissions.org/give. And we'd appreciate any donation that you can give to keep this program on the air. But I don't often say that. Moving right along, we find that Jesus is going to town after town. He's going all around Israel in the villages and towns and cities, proclaiming the kingdom of God. And he's getting a lot of different responses. He gets four different responses, and we'll find that as we look at the parable. And those responses are the various responses of the human heart. Now, if you're in ministry, you might think to yourself, well, I have a tough time. No one responds to my preaching. Is there something wrong with me? Actually, there are different kinds of people, and those kinds of people have different kinds of responses to the Word of God. Now, one of the temptations of ministry is to give up on the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed. It has power. It has the ability to regenerate us, but it's not popular. Three of these kinds of people are not really listening to the Word of God at all. There's just a small group at the end who do, who have honest and good hearts, and to them the Word of God makes sense, and they go after it, and they hold it in their hearts, and they're obedient, and they bear fruit with patience. After much suffering, they come into the kingdom of God and into glory. But if you've got a church, there's a lot of people there who just want their ears tickled. They want jokes. They want stories. They want to hear about your family. They want to hear about politics. They want to hear about prophecy and the end times. What's going to happen with Israel or Donald Trump and this and that? They want all the shallow things. They want dreams and visions, but they do not want the powerful Word of God that will change them and bring them truth. You cannot give in to them. You must not be someone who tickles ears. Do not preach to those who have hard hearts, to those who have no hearts, for whom the Word of God is stolen by demons. You do not give in to the temptation to entertain the shallow people, who are happy one minute and gone from your church the next, because as soon as any trouble arises in their life, off they go. Or preaching to the worldly people who are buried in their love of money, their love of social status, the cares of this life, the pressures of everything from exam to family life, and who just want quick solutions. They want solutions to their problems because they're primarily driven by anxiety rather than by seeking spiritual things. And so the pastor is called to minister to anxious person after anxious person because they're preoccupied with the things of this world. So the pastor says, oh, I'll just do practical teaching. I'll just teach Proverbs. I'll teach this. I'll teach that. I'll teach people solutions to their relationships. And you don't talk about the eternal things. You don't talk about the cross. You don't talk about the resurrection. You don't talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't talk about faith and how to have faith in God like a mustard seed. People give up and they just teach people what they want to hear in order to help them through the anxieties of life. That is not good preaching. You must teach gospel truth. You must teach what people need to hear, not what people want to hear. Now let's look at a bit more of the four kinds of soils that we have here. So he says this, the seed is the word of God, and this is a consistent biblical thing. The seed is the word of God. It's the imperishable seed. It's the gospel seed. It takes us out of darkness to eternal life. Now the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. So there's a lot of people out there who never believe. The word comes to them, but they never believe it. They're like those that Jesus teaches in parables. They don't get it. They have no ability to get it. They're spiritually deaf. They're spiritually blind. They have no ability to retain the word of God, and they hear it. But the devil plucks it out of their mind and their heart and says, here, listen to this instead. Listen to this promise of the world instead. And it never enters into their heart and they are never saved. And you have to pray for them that God will open their spiritual eyes and spiritual ears so that they may understand the pure word of God, that the seed will enter deep into them and that they will be saved, that God will change their priorities and not allow the devil to steal the word of God out of their hearts and out of their minds. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. So there are people that fall away from the faith. And it's not just once saved, always saved. There are people who believe for a while, and then they fall away. That's what Jesus just said. They believe for a little bit of time. And when life gets disappointing, when life gets tough, they say of Christianity, oh, well, I tried that, but it didn't work. And we see all these people saying, I tried that, it didn't work, I prayed, and my prayer wasn't answered, and God didn't give me what I wanted. Well, it's not a matter of God being there to give you what you want. I was talking to some people recently, and one person after another said, well, that's not what I wanted God to give me. That's not what I wanted from God. They had this idea of a perfect life, and they had to have this perfect life, and if it fell a little bit short of this perfectly comfortable life, then, oh, God didn't deliver for me what I want. Well, what's the problem with that? That makes God their servant. God has to deliver, like the butler Jeeves has to come with a tray of drinks or whatever and give them exactly what they want, because God is their servant. God's there to give them the life that they want and demand with the things under certain conditions. That is not how God works. God is sovereign. He's not anyone's servant. He loves us. He helps us. But he's not there to provide you with a tray of goodies. He's not there to serve your meals on time, just at the right temperature, cooked the right way. That's not God. God is someone who is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and God has commandments, and you must follow those commandments. You must be obedient to those commandments. And there's no trading or bargaining with God. You can't say, if I give my attention to your word, and if I follow your commandments, then you have to give me a 6-bedroom house and $10 million. You can't bargain with God like that. God does not accept those terms and conditions. And this is what happens with the people who have the word of God goes into their heart, and then they say, well, it didn't work. It didn't happen. Life got tough. There was some persecution. I'm disappointed with God. He didn't give me the results I wanted. And they walk away. Now, in ministry, it's tempting to minister to these people. They're very, very happy for a short while. They have joy. They're bouncing up and down at the front of the church. And then one day they're not there anymore because they've been offended. And you rush after them. And you say, Jane or Jill or John or James, what's wrong with you? Oh, well, this happened, Pastor. That happened. Oh, we'll change this. I'm sorry that you were offended. And if you're ever trying to reach them and bring them back, and they're always being offended, and a few weeks later they're off again. That is not the kind of people you can minister to. You have to teach them to be deep. You need to teach them to expect that life will be tough. You need to teach them about the lordship of God and that they have to obey God. They can't boss God around at all. You have to teach them that he is King of Kings, that he is Lord of Lords, that God has expectations of them, and they have to follow his commandments and not just be shallow and demanding and neurotic. You have to tell your people that God is there, God does love them, but they need to persist in the faith. They need to expect life to get tough occasionally. They need to expect that they will enter the kingdom of God through many trials and tribulations. And that's just the nature of the Christian life. And you need to give them a realistic expectation about what God will and won't do for them, but also show them the glory and power of God along the way. You don't want them to think that God is powerless. So the next type is in verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So they're alive, they're not dead. They still have some kind of Christian pulse, some kind of Christian life, but they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God because their reward is entirely in this life. They live for their own pleasures, they live for their own desires. They are driven by anxiety from one thing to the next, and their anxiety dictates the agenda of their life because they're running after the cares of this world. And if you're a pastor, you see these people coming to you week after week. Pastor, pray for me. I've got an exam. Pastor, pray for me. I've got a tax bill. Pastor, pray for me. My car has broken down. Pastor, pray for me this, that, and the other. And they're driven by anxiety from one thing to the next. They never learn to pray for themselves. And they seldom pray for other people because they are caught up in their own anxiety and their own stress. They have never dug deep into the well of God's word. They have never really understood the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. They have lost the desire to be truly obedient for God, because being obedient to God is the second priority. Dealing with their anxieties, which come all day, every day, is their first priority. And they have let anxiety and fear, worry and the cares of this world take over their existence. And if they're not worrying about themselves, they're worrying about their children or their grandchildren. They're worrying about this or the state of the economy or the politics in the world. And they're burdened down by all the things that they put into their mind that are anxious and fearful, or conspiracy theories, or that, this or that. And you may need to tell them that God is King of Kings, He's Lord of Lords, that He will take care of them through all the troubles of life. Point them to the Word of God. Say, go, read your Bible. There's your answer. Read the Scriptures. I'll pray for you, but you need to pray for yourselves. And it's a very big thing that you must teach people to pray for themselves and for others. Preach on prayer and say, now, at the end of the service, you're going to pray for one another for 15 minutes. Get into groups of three and pray for one another. Even if you're scared, even if it's difficult, start praying for one another and teach them how to pray aloud. Teach them how to pray powerfully. Teach them the ways of God and the power of prayer so that they learn to come out of their anxiety and solve the anxiety themselves through referring to the Word of God, through praying for one another, through taking positive action and being bold through the boldness of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit makes people bold and strong and able to overcome all the anxieties that afflict them day and night. So you need to work on these people to take them out of worldliness, to take them out of the things of Babylon, to take them out of being careful and worried about themselves and the things of this world. And you need to show them that they need to be separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that those who are a friend of the world are an enemy of God. And there's plenty of passages on that that you can share with him. Finally, we have the people with good and faithful hearts. As for that good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Here we have the good Christians, and they're the people that Jesus seeks. And Jesus would often seek them by going out into the wilderness and saying, let's see who'll come out to me over here. Let's see who will make the journey. Let's see who will go and listen to the word of God over here. And they'll come out, and it's the ones in the wilderness, the ones that are prepared to make a sacrifice to go out and see Jesus. They're the ones that often are the ones that you can rely on. They're the ones that will have the honest and good heart. And so you need to find the faithful people, the good people, and you need to instruct them. And the good people will bear fruit with patience. Bearing fruit is not instantaneous. We must go through many trials and tribulations to be shaped into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, because testing produces patience, and patience produces good character, and good character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. So when you're going through your trials and tribulations, realize that it's part of developing the patience that turns you into a good Christian, that develops the character in your heart that you need to have for the kingdom of God. And these people, these are the people that you want to select. They're the people that you want to find as part of your ministry and make the majority of your ministry to those who really want to listen to the Word of God. And I was talking on the phone today with a friend of mine, and she, a friend of hers, was doing some ministry out in, I think, one African country. I'll just say Cote d'Ivoire, but I think that's the wrong one. It might have been Liberia. And anyway, this person was teaching a Bible class, and one lady would come to that Bible class. She would walk 4 hours every week there and 4 hours home after hearing the Word of God. That's incredible. And that's the kind of person you know that was going to turn out as a really fine Christian one day. So they're the four kinds of people. And that's the receptivity that people have for the gospel. And Jesus is always looking for faith. He's always looking for receptivity. He's always looking for people that want the secrets of the kingdom of God. And that's why he teaches in parables. He teaches to his disciples directly. He says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. And the disciples have written them down in the Bible for us to know now as well. But there are a lot of other people who just saw Jesus as entertainment, just as a miracle worker, just as someone casting out demons. And they would go, but they didn't really want the spiritual truth. They didn't want the deep teaching. They just wanted the experience. They just wanted to see the miracles. They were just on the edge of the crowd looking on. And they're the people that called for Jesus to be crucified later on. There's a lot of very indifferent people out there. And Jesus is saying, those indifferent people, I teach them. And if they come to ask me what the parable means, he'll tell them. But if they don't ask, they go, oh, that's a bit difficult. And they wander away. Jesus isn't really interested. He's interested in the people that seek him out. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. You've got to go and seek after spiritual truth. And Jesus wants you to pursue spiritual truth diligently with prayer, with fasting, with going and studying the Word of God deeply, not just a few verses here and a few verses there. Go and read big chunks of the Bible. Pursue truth, because truth is hidden by God. God hides it away, so only the people who value truth get truth. And you need to stop wanting to be entertained by God and want all the sort of prophecies and visions and miracles. Okay, that's great. But you need more than that. You need to pursue the things of the kingdom of God. And the things of the kingdom of God are things like love and kindness, the revelation of God, the knowledge of the cross, the knowledge of the ascension of Jesus Christ into the heavenly realms, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Many of these things you will only know if you diligently study the Word of God on your own and you get the Bible out and you read it and you underline it and you think about it and you make it a priority to have a quiet time every day. You should spend an hour a day in prayer if at all possible. And if you don't have a Bible, a physical Bible, download one onto your mobile phone. It's easy to get hold of apps like the Blue Letter Bible or YouVersion. You can even get lots in your own languages. For many, YouVersion has a lot of different languages on it. So spend time in the Word. Be someone who is faithful, someone who is prayerful, someone who fellowships with others, and hang out with people who are not worldly, who are not full of anxiety, or you'll catch their anxieties. Go and find people who are full of faith and who want to pursue God with you. Have three or four friends who are like your friend, set of disciples, and together you pray for one another. Together you discuss the things of God. Together you pursue the things of the kingdom of God, because they are very, very important. So you yourself need to be someone who wants to understand the parables of Jesus, who wants to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, who goes to the difficult books like Romans and says, what does this mean? And it can help to get a Bible commentary or a Bible dictionary. It can help to go online and say, what does this word mean? What does this definition mean? And you can learn deep things from deep Bible teachers. And make sure, if you're listening to a Bible teacher, you get someone who's got an anointing, who respects the Word of God and doesn't make a lot of fuss about miracles and things as if the miracles didn't happen. There's some very liberal Bible teachers out there who are very skeptical about Jesus. Don't listen to those. Listen to those who have an honest and true heart, who believe in God and who believe in the power of the Word of God and can explain the Word of God to you in depth. One of the best ways to study the Bible is to study verse by verse. Go and pick a book of the Bible, such as Ephesians or Philippians, and go verse by verse. What does this verse mean? How does it link to the next one? And if you can get hold of a study Bible that's got footnotes, that can help you too. But have your own notebook and pen, pick it up, start looking at the Bible and say, oh, what does this mean? And write it down. Ask, what does this verse say about God? What does this verse say about Jesus? What does this verse say about the Holy Spirit? Is there a commandment to obey? And what does it say to me? I'll go through those five questions again. When you're doing your Bible study, get a pen and a notebook and answer these five questions about the Bible verse that you're listening to. Ask, what does these verses say about God, the Father? Then the next thing, what do these verses say about Jesus, the Son? Thirdly, what do these verses say about the Holy Spirit? That's so, what does it say about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Then, is there a commandment to obey or a principle to observe? That's question number four. And then finally, what do I feel this Bible verse saying to me? Don't jump all the way to the fifth question without answering the other four, because you want to learn about God. You want to learn about Jesus. You want to learn about the Holy Spirit. You want to learn about the commandments of Jesus Christ. Just don't jump straight away to how it makes you feel on that particular day. We're not reading the Bible to get our feelings fixed. You're reading the Bible to discover the truth of God, the gospel of God, and the kingdom of God. You're reading the Bible to enter into the kingdom of God, not just to be a little bit less anxious. A lot of people are anxious. They flip the Bible open and stick their finger to get out. Oh, Lord, give me a verse. Lord, give me a verse. I'm afraid today. Okay, that's not the way you should be reading Scripture. You should be reading Scripture reverently. You should be reading Scripture as if this is the book that you are going to obey. This is the book that has saved you. This is the book where the Word, imperishable Word of God, has taken you from darkness to light. This is the imperishable Word of God that has made you knowledgeable about the Lord Jesus Christ and your salvation. It's the Word of God that gets you born again. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of Christ. And so you have to abide by the Word of Christ. If you want faith, go to the Bible, and the Bible will teach you the faith, the correct things that you need to know. Study the Scriptures day in and day out. Do not be like the person where the Scriptures bounce off them and never enter into them. Do not be like the person who listens to the Scripture for a bit and then throws it away as soon as life gets tough. Do not be the sort of person that listens to the Scripture and only tries to apply it to the practical details of their life because they're living from anxiety to anxiety on a daily basis on the cares of this world. Rather, be someone who takes God's Word, who takes the Scriptures, and ask, what does this mean? What does this parable say? What's Jesus meaning here? And then take hold of it with an honest and good heart, and you will bear fruit 100-fold with great patience as you work for the Lord. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do His work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.